Support for KSJD's streaming comes from Osprey PAX, independent since 1974, setting the standard for creating and producing innovative, high-quality, caring equipment designed to inspire and ease your journey. Osprey PAX is committed to the local communities where it operates and to protecting the wild places its customers love to explore. For more information, visit OspreyPAX.com.
This is KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. This morning, my guest is Nicole Belanger, who describes herself as a writer, storyteller, entrepreneur, and recovering overachiever. Her career has included writing public policy papers, marketing, and fundraising for a major women in tech organization. Last year, she founded her own media company for her writing, speaking, and consulting services. Also in 2014, Nicole participated in a three-day program offered by NewCo, a company dedicated to developing leadership in a more holistic, mindful way. The course took her off the grid into a remote part of the Southwest, where she found that her fear of mountain lions was trumped only by the fear of being alone with her own thoughts. Nicole joins me now by phone. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning.
Nicole, why was being alone with your own thoughts scary for you?
Oh, because we don't do it a lot. And I think we're scared of, often scared of things that we're not familiar with. There is no shortage of tools for numbing out in our society, whether that's the food we put in our mouths, the media we consume, or even the way we spend the time. And it can be scary when it's been a long time since you've really sat in the quiet with your own thoughts to get reacquainted. Can be uncomfortable.
In the blog post that you wrote about that trip, one thing that you talk about is this avoiding discomfort, what you just called numbing out. Why do you think that's a big problem for us?
Well, I think the problem that numbing out causes is we numb out. There's a woman named Brené Brown who gave this fabulous TEDx talk about vulnerability. And in that talk, she talked about how we can't selectively numb out emotions. And the problem is that when we're avoiding this discomfort of sitting with our thoughts and our real feelings, which are sometimes wonderful and sometimes unpleasant because that's how life goes, when we numb out the unpleasant stuff, we're also numbing out the pleasant stuff. We're numbing out, and I think what scares me the most is that we're numbing out that little voice inside us that is kind of our barometer for measuring our happiness, measuring how well something, a relationship or a job or an environment is working for us. And, you know, we quiet out that little voice, we can wind up in places that don't really work for us in life.
Well, what do you think we should be doing instead? I mean, instead of this numbing out, this overeating or getting on our phones or watching, you know, Netflix or whatever we do, what could we be doing instead?
Well, it's funny. My mother passed away several years ago, and I, at the time, totally numbed out with work. Work was my numbing out agent of choice. And it took me a good year and a half, but eventually it caught up with me, as all the things that we need to address in life do. And at that time, my therapist gave me a great tip that I thought was ridiculous at the time, but really was the key to my success in dealing with this, is he said, give yourself 15 minutes every day. We're all... you need to do, your only responsibility is to feel what you're feeling and to sit with it and not force it out of the way. And so for a few months, I would sit there every, 15 minutes every day and feel what I was feeling. And gradually, I was able to get more comfortable with that and create more space for it. And that turned into all sorts of different things for me, a meditation routine, things like this work with NewCo, being willing to go out, into the unplugged wilderness to give yourself that extended opportunity to immerse yourself in your inner experience. It just started with 15 minutes a day of sitting in the quiet with my own thoughts.
And how did that then change the way you looked at your career and your family and other parts of your life?
The thing I was so focused on speed and, you know, progressing in my career, mostly progressing in my career, progressing in my education, that kind of stuff. I was so obsessed with speed, getting to where I wanted to go faster, that I lost sight of direction. And I had wound up in a place that I realized didn't actually make me very happy. So when I had these kind of moments, these quiet moments of reflection, you know, over a few months, I started to realize that wasn't actually what I wanted. I started to feel feelings that I had suppressed with work, feelings of discontentment, feelings of frustration. And the next step was that I had to give myself permission to really accept those feelings and start considering making some changes based on those feelings.
You have a TED Talk that you gave some time ago where you talk about those ideas of success and the expectations we place on ourselves. Why was it important for you to come forward with that and talk about that in that TED Talk?
Absolutely. It's the same kind of thing. I really feel that so many of us we're moving quickly through life, right? And we don't give ourselves many opportunities to stop and reflect, like I said, on direction and whether things are really, truly working for us. And we also don't stop and consider, you know, we love throwing around the word success and successful, but, you know, if you really sit someone down and ask them, well, what does success mean? It's scary how few people can actually articulate a definition of the word. Hmm. It was important to me to share that story of really flipping my life upside down and completely changing my career path after this exploration of what success means to me, because when we tell those stories to others, it's a really sacred act of giving permission. There's a lot of rules in our society, formal and informal, about how we're supposed to live our lives, and often it can take seeing someone do something differently for you to be able to think, okay, maybe I can do that too.
Well, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. My guest this morning is Nicole Belanger, and we're talking this morning about some of our ideas around success and how we work in our society and what's working for us and what's not working for us. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Stay with us. Back. You're listening to KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. This morning I'm talking with Nicole Belanger. She is a writer and she also does speaking engagements and consults on a number of different topics. And we were just talking, Nicole, a little bit about stories and why stories are important and how they empower people. Let's talk a little bit more about that. Why are stories so important?
So like I was saying before the break, stories are a gift of permission. Stories allow us, they are a non-judgmental way of imparting advice. They are, you know, people, when you give someone a story, when you tell someone a story, they can then take whatever they need to take out of that. They can apply their own life experiences to it. And it's a safe way, I find, to teach lessons and to give advice. It's super non-judgmental, non-confrontational, and very open.
Hmm. Well, what about the differences between, it strikes me that you're a speaker and you've done these TEDx talks. You're also a writer. What is the difference between storytelling when it comes to writing and speaking those stories?
The thing I find about writing is it, and I mean, kind of the same idea when you prepare for a talk. Often when I'm preparing for a talk, I'll realize that what I actually want to say is very different than what I kind of intended to say at the beginning when I set out to write it. And that's the beauty I find in writing, is that when you're going through a story, when you're revisiting something from the past, that's when you really get the gems, the lessons, the learning, the hindsight out of it. You can kind of polish up and give those as gifts to other people in your story. The going back and the writing of the piece is, I find, you're experiencing it all over again in a whole new way.
One thing that I've also noticed in terms of talking to people about their stories is that sometimes we feel like our own stories don't matter that much, but yet when we hear other people talking about their story, we're so interested in that. I find that that's an interesting contradiction or something.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. We're very judgmental when it comes to our own stories.
Why do you think that is? Do you think that gets back to that idea of vulnerability and not wanting to share? Or do you feel like we have this sort of sense of that our stories don't matter or they're not as interesting or something?
I think it's column A and column B. I think you're right. We shame our own stories a lot and saying, oh, it's not that interesting. Oh, it doesn't matter. Oh, they've heard it before. It's different. First of all, I would say to anyone feeling that way, your story is unique because it is yours. It might have the same themes as someone else's, but it's a unique story. But I also think we tell ourselves these things as kind of an easy way, giving ourselves an easy way out of having to share them with others. You know, if we tell ourselves, oh, you know, it's not that interesting, then we don't have to go to that place of vulnerability. We can avoid it for a little while longer.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I've noticed on your website, too, is that you have really focused on women's stories, and you have a series that's called Conversation with Her. Why is that something that you decided you wanted to take on?
So the women are having a real moment right now, I think, in media. And one of the best things I've heard said about it was Maggie Gyllenhaal at the Globes this year said she was so excited about the number of roles that were being presented where women were weak and in charge, you know, confident and nervous, these really complex roles. And I think that there is, we're getting to that point, but for so long, we've been offered really one-dimensional female characters who aren't given the permission to explore the boundaries of their humanity in different directions, who aren't given the opportunity to be complicated human beings like we all are in real life. And I think that I'm so fascinated by the difference between some of the women that are portrayed on the screen and the way that women are in real life, and I want to see what is in the space between those two.
You know, it strikes me that not just with women, but just with so many other groups in our society, we want to kind of compartmentalize so we can kind of say, oh, that's who that person is. I sort of understand them. But like you said, I mean, everybody's got a pretty complicated story that's really unique and individual. Yet we don't really want to be unique and individual. Sometimes we also want to kind of fit into a stereotype of some sort. Can you talk a little bit about the courage that it takes to come out of that and to say, hey, I've got my story and I'm unique?
Yeah, I mean, it is an act of courage. And I think like we train for anything else, you know, we develop these courage muscles over time. Maybe you share a story with a friend, you know, maybe the next time it's with a larger group of people. You know, I think our responsibility, if we want people to be out there sharing stories, small groups or large, we need to, when we see someone acting with courage by sharing their truth, we need to respond to that with compassion and with gratitude, and with appreciation and recognition for the courage it took to do that, because that's how we're going to develop, you know, that safe space for people to share what they want to share. I think the onus is on us oftentimes when we're hearing other people's stories.
Well, and I also think that we end up connecting with people, and which kind of makes your world more complicated, but also safer at the same time, in a way where you can say,
totally.
I get it. I get what you're going through. You somehow relate in a different way when you're able to hear someone really speak from the heart. And like you're saying, it really allows you to also speak from the heart. Talk a little bit about the ideas behind Conversation with Her. How are you finding people to talk to? What's the process like behind that?
So Conversations with Her, which is an interview, a profile series, tagline is where we're talking to women about the things that matter to them, whatever that is. And it was actually kind of an accident that it got started. So I have worked with all sorts of women over the last several years, and I just am constantly brought to my knees with gratitude for the amazing, diverse women that I have had the pleasure of meeting in my life. And I just want the world to know about them. I just want the world to know about all these amazing women that I know that are in my circles. And so I've just started going to women that I know that I think are amazing and asking if they would be willing to participate and to share their stories. And I've been so floored with the generosity and their eagerness to participate.
Yeah, sometimes all it takes is just asking for those stories, and then they come right out, don't they?
Yeah.
Well, Nicole, thank you so much for talking with me. It was really interesting talking with you, and I think the work that you're doing
thank
is
you.
Just so, so important. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
That's Nicole Belanger. She is a writer, a storyteller, an entrepreneur, and she describes herself as a recovering overachiever. You've been listening to KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. Thanks for listening.